Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is when Tracy recording. It is 1:05 p.m. Today is, and that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 29th. And today we saw some of the brinksmanship that has been depressing the pound over the last 2 or 3 months starting to moderate. So the EU is starting to talk about perhaps giving the UK some preferential treatment. And that is helping to steady the pound, but particularly because it's back in the region of areas of previous support around the 110 level versus the euro. The pound has also been rallying against the dollar for most of the last couple of weeks, and it is now unwinding its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. So there is potential here for an additional rally, but it has got some work to do in order to still break that downtrend. So when we think about what the possibilities are, that the potential is that the UK will have preferential treatment to the EU, but in order to get that, it will have to concede on the customs front and potentially even to give some role for the European Court of Justice in relation to the Irish border. Those are red lines for the UK, and they're likely to be blurred if not completely trodden on. So the perhaps the most likely scenario is that the UK will probably end up being closer to the EU than people had thought they were voting for when they voted for Brexit. There is also the realistic possibility that when the deal is in fact put before Parliament, that a vote may not suffice, and they may have to go back and have another referendum on whether to accept that. So there's still a lot to play for, and the pound is really quite oversold, so there's ample potential here for additional upside. And when we look at the mid-caps index, which is more representative, I think, of the UK economy, it did bounce over the last couple of weeks from the region of the trend mean. It was in negative territory in here today, not least because of the strength of the pound. But the big number here is 20,000. That is an awfully big psychological level. It held up the market for most of the last 12 months. Now it's right in the region of the trend mean and has steadied. So that the region of the trend mean and the 20,000 level are about where support should be found if this medium-term advance is to continue to persist. Now, when we look at what has been going on in the USA, corporate profits figures for the second quarter were updated today, and they're at a new all-time high. This is quite different to what we saw back in 2006, when corporate profits had been trending higher for a really quite a prolonged period of time. Then they turned around, and it was that turnaround in corporate profits was a lead indicator, really, for the kinds of difficulties that we had in the stock market 18 months later. Then, if we look at the peak in corporate profits that we had in 1997, well, that presaged the decline that we had in the early 2000s. And there was the potential that the peak we saw back in 2014 was going to be the peak in corporate profits, but something has changed. And we know what that is, of course. It's that the USA has migrated from monetary stimulus to fiscal stimulus. And that has acted as a boost both to the consumer, but also then therefore to corporate profits. When people are looking at this figure, then they're asking the question, well, is it all because of the Trump tax cuts? No, of course not. But we can't forget that the corporate tax cuts were not the only tax cut. There was also the tax cut for individuals, and people are out there spending. And I think the restaurant sector is a good barometer of that. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse is what could be considered a high-end restaurant. And when we think about the fact that it had been ranging and trending in a reasonably consistent manner from about 2008 onwards, but then the pace of the advance really did pick up at the end of 2017, and Then it had some very impressive earnings a couple of weeks ago, and it's been consolidating that surge higher since. But the pace of the advance has certainly picked up, and that is reflective of the fact that people are spending their windfall from the tax cuts at restaurants and entertainment and travel. So when we look at the restaurant sector, it is doing well and has been doing progressively better as a result of that evolution of government policy. Well, when we look at the fact that the S&P 500 has broken up and out of what was a 7-month range, then this continues to represent a bullish pattern. There is a short-term overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and there is an area of potential resistance around that 3,000-point level. But a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to really question potential for additional upside. What we are starting to see is that we're getting analysts starting to compete for the title of the biggest bull, and that is most particularly the case with Amazon. Amazon has got all the way up to test this $2,000 level, and it was well, it was less than $2 away from it at the peak in here today. And if we look at the consistency of the move up since April, then it has been very small ranges followed by breakouts on the upside. So it is due another one of those small ranges. We also know that Amazon is occasionally liable to have these rather swinging pullbacks, and that it does tend to find support in the region of the trend mean, although the one that we had earlier this year did not quite get all the way back to the mean, and the pace of the advance has definitely picked up. Even if we look at this on a logarithmic scale chart, then we can, I think, conclude that this has been a particularly bullish period from the beginning of 2015 onwards. Well, I think it's reasonable to anticipate that we're going to get at least some consolidation around the 2,000-point level, but really clear downward dynamics and a break in the progression of higher reaction lows. And most particularly, if it were to pull back below the trend mean, would really be required to question the overall upward bias. I think it's also worth highlighting that Apple is also rallying rather impressively, and that the pace of the advance has certainly picked up over the course of the last few weeks and indeed months. Well, Google has confirmed support in the region of $1,200. I've started to see valuations for the Waymo segment of its business, which is not even close to getting to revenue positive, but I've seen valuations in anything in the order of $100 billion to $175 billion for what is effectively a startup that does not have a product that is ready for market. So that is a reflection of just how much enthusiasm there is. And that enthusiasm is the kind of thing that when we get enthusiastic markets, people looking for an excuse to buy, and analysts starting to compete for the title of the biggest bull, well, that's the kind of environment that creates an acceleration. And we already have some evidence that the pace of advances in some of these very large shares is picking up. Well, the fact that people are competing for that title of the biggest bull is also representative of the third psychological perception stage of a major bull market. And I think we've been in this stage now for at least the last 18 months. So corporate profits continuing to advance is really quite bullish. But of course, we do know that it is being driven, at least in part, if not mostly, because of the fiscal stimulus. And fiscal stimulus does not last indefinitely. Eventually, it will run out. And the pace of issuance of government bonds has so far been something of a headwind for the bond market. But the reality is because the dollar has been strong, it has acted as a tailwind for bond prices, and that has contributed to this range where these two arguments have been in relative equilibrium. Well, the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact. The yield is finding support in the region of the trend mean. And this week's action, where we've seen consecutive days on the upside, is helping to confirm that there isn't a great deal of appetite to see yields below the 2.77% level. Well, the reality here is that this market has been going sideways in a rather volatile manner, where the amplitude of the range has been in the order of 100%, from about 1.5% to 2 to 3% over the course of the last 6 years. That when we look at this on a long-term chart, that there has certainly been a loss of momentum on in terms of this longer-term downtrend. Well, it's really going to be a sustained move up and up to new recovery highs for the yield that would confirm that this base formation has been completed, and we're not there quite yet. Well, when we also look at the consistency that we have on Wall Street, that there is the logical, I think, conclusion here that there's no evidence yet of type 1, type 2, or type 3 trend ending, but that if we were to guess which is the one that we're going to see first, well, acceleration does appear to be on the cards here, and that that we could see the market breaking up or having a melt up in that is, I think, perhaps already underway. And one of the companies that had reported earnings in here today was Salesforce. And what I find particularly interesting is that it is these cloud computing companies that have been doing really rather spectacularly well over the course of the last few years. And the commonality that we have in terms of the performance, not just of those that have been around for a while, but even the new starters, that it is certainly in cloud computing that we have some of the clearest evidence of acceleration, and that is almost universally the case for the companies that are engaged in this particular segment of the market. But what also was interesting in here today was that the biotech index was very well represented in some of the best performing shares, and it has really been a wallflower in terms of relative performance for much of the last, I think, 2 years, having done spectacularly well between 2011 and the middle of 2015. It's been out in the wilderness somewhat, but it is now at a new recovery high, and what that I think suggests that there is the potential here for some additional upside, and I think the potential for it to take out the 4,000 point level and resume the medium-term uptrend, I think, is probably more likely than not. Well, one of the reasons I mention that is that it is generally in the third psychological perception stage of a bull market that you get cyclical shares doing well, and biotechnology is cyclical. Whereas when we think about technology, the adoption of the subscription business model has really changed the outlook for the technology sector, so that it is much less cyclical now than it has been in the past. But there's nobody buying subscriptions to biotechnology shares. Then, when we look at the oil price, well, oil prices are still really quite firm, and oil is a truly global commodity, and it is also less influenced by exactly what's going on in China, and China is less likely to put sanctions on oil, considering that it's the biggest importer in the world. Well, oil has bounced from the region of the trend mean in the upper side of the underlying trading range, and this remains a reasonably consistent medium-term advance overall. Well, if we were to see oil prices accelerating higher, similar to what we saw, for example, in 2010, well, that would represent a headwind for growth, and most particularly for consuming nations. It's likely to have less of an impact on a country like the USA on this particular occasion, because it's a net energy exporter now, or as close to that moniker as makes very little difference. Whereas Europe and India and Japan would certainly feel the crunch if oil prices were to accelerate from here. But the difficulties that China has right now, both from a perspective of, on the one hand, an ambivalent relationship with the USA and the potential for even further tariffs. Then you have a cooling of relations with a significant number of other countries where there has been the specter of China trying to engage in debt trapping and funding of infrastructure projects, which then give them a geopolitical clout. So that is starting to come under threat. And then you have the fact that they have been weighing on the financial sector and that that is acting as a headwind. Well, that is a headwind for the commodity complex because China is where the incremental growth for just about all commodities, as well as a substantial quotient or excuse me, a substantial quantity of current demand for commodities originates. Well, copper prices have got a rather wide overextension relative to the trend mean, but we've had a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. And what generally ensues when we get something like that is a range, but then the big question is whether it is going to be able to sustain a move back above $3. And that's an awfully big ask at this stage, considering the trend deterioration that we've seen. When we look at, for example, coffee prices, that we had a bounce last week, and then it has been giving up some of that advance. It's now back below the 100-cent level. 100 cents has been an area of support back in 2013 and again in 2008, and so far, I think it is it's still fairly questionable whether the price has actually, in fact, found support around this area. Then, when we look at soybeans, which is a staple in China, then prices having bounced are coming right back down to test that low around the 800 cent level. I think it does behoove us to look at much longer term charts. And it is around the 800 level that prices were unable to sustain moves above that level between approximately 1973 and 2008. So it is a potential area of support, but in the event that prices fail to sustain this level, well, the lower side of that longer term range is 500. And that is not at all in the lexicon of traders who've been around for the last 13 or 14 years. It's been an awfully long time since we saw a depressed state in commodity prices. The only commodity that has, in fact, given up all of its advance from the commodity boom is natural gas. And we know why, because of the incredibly prolific nature of supply coming from unconventional sources on the continent of North America. Well, this is therefore a rather interesting environment for commodities, and that I think is something that is worth considering because, generally speaking, in the third psychological perception stage, we would anticipate that cyclicals should do well and commodities are definitely cyclical. It also helps to point us towards the underperformance of China as something that is not something that we can ignore. It is the difficulty that China is having in prospering is something that is obviously a major event. And the fact that the stock market has its rally has so far been really quite modest, that when we look at that benchmark A-share index in Shanghai, that we had a breakdown to new lows, it popped right back up, but certainly not in a particularly dynamic manner, and it really does have a lot of work to do to really demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Whereas when we look at the banking sector, it has been able to hold a progression of higher reaction lows, and it has unwound at least part of that overextension relative to the trend mean. But apart from that upper dynamic, or two upper dynamics that we saw in July, this has been a pretty quiet market. And it's probably going to require some significant policy initiatives to really demonstrate that there is institutional support and perhaps governmental support for the stock market. The renminbi, having strengthened really quite impressively 4 days ago, has not really followed through on the upside. The Chinese simply do not want a stronger currency, but they do not want to see it declining on consecutive days either. So we're probably in for some ranging, but the range could be rather shallow relative to the overextension that we have right now relative to the trend mean. And that would allow the trend mean to catch up. When we look at some of the countries, or indeed the currencies that have been most under pressure from the strength of the dollar and the deteriorating state of their own governance that has been highlighted by the strength of the dollar, while the Argentine peso is now accelerating lower, the Venezuelan bolivar, or indeed the new bolivar, is certainly no tower of strength, and the fact that that Turkey has not really instituted or tackled any of the problems that saw the lira get down to the 7 level is starting to be revisited by the market. Now the big question is whether on this occasion the 7 area is going to hold. Generally speaking, if the central bank is going to support the currency, they would wait for short positions to be initiated before trying to pressure them and to chasten the market. There is the potential that we do get it coming back towards 7 before we see some substantial action by the Turkish authorities to stabilize the market. Well, the Indian market was a little bit weaker in here today, and it is a little bit overbought in the short term. What I think is important to highlight, though, is that Reliance Industries, having accelerated to its current level, was posted a very small key day reversal. Downside follow through tomorrow would confirm a peak of near-term significance, and it would probably slow down the advance that we've seen on the Nifty. The other market that I think is certainly worth mentioning in here is the ASX 200 in Australia, and the index has been up rather impressively over the last 3 sessions. It's now back testing the upper side of this most recent range. When we look at what's going on in terms of the Aussie dollar, then we've had something of a bounce, but it's still in a reasonably consistent downtrend, and it would need to sustain a move above the 74-cent level to challenge that conclusion. But what I found interesting in here today was the performance of let me see, I'm not getting the correct ticker. So let me just find that. It's Boral in the U in Australia. There we are. And when we look at Boral, then what we've seen here is a really very impressive upside Q reversal, and it is now back above the trend mean. Well, it's worth considering that what this does is they produce building materials, and obviously everyone has been talking about what is going on in terms of Australian property, but the fact that you have building materials companies still doing pretty well is perhaps an indication that it's not time to panic just yet. When we look at the performance of the banking sector, it has now posted a higher reaction low. It is now back above the trend mean, and it has been up in a dynamic manner over the last 3 sessions, and that is following a pretty swinging pullback on the previous week. Well, if it can continue to hold the region of the trend mean, then this will represent a continued bullish environment. Well, the financials index is populated both by banks and insurance companies. If we just simply zoom in on the banking sector, then that's the ASX 300 banks. Then we also have the higher reaction low. And whoops, sorry, I'm not typing particularly effectively. We've had a pretty impressive rebound on that index. So if it can push further up and then break out above the 8200 level, then I think we will be able to conclude that we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment for Australia. So I think when we look around the world, certainly it is in areas that either benefit from the continued relative strength of the USA are doing well. Those that have got their own internal dynamics are also doing reasonably well. But those that are completely reliant on China are, I think, probably going to have some challenges in front of them. Then, of course, you also have the continued questions about what's going on in Europe, the risk that is outstanding in Italian government bonds, and the exposure that Europe has to the deteriorating situation in Turkey. What that also, I think, helps to demonstrate is that the relative strength of the USA is a almost like a siren call as a safe haven from troubles out there, and that if one were bargain hunting, then it is in the emerging markets, most particularly in Asia outside of China, that some of the most lucrative opportunities lie, I suspect. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.